Now, the US presidential election, which takes place on Tuesday, has gone down to the wire. There has not been a contest in living memory where so many states are so close in the polls. There are seven battleground states which will decide this election. They are Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin and North Carolina. Neither of the candidates leads the polls in those states by any more than 2 percentage points. Which is within the margin of error. Over 60 million people have voted already, and political analysts are scrutinising the data from exit polls to try to determine who at this stage has the edge and what issues are most important. Well, RTE's Jackie Fox is in Washington, D.C. for us today. Jackie, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Justin.
Just 2 days to go now, and as we've been saying, the contest is really on a knife edge. There is a new poll out this morning, which is quite interesting. It's from the state of Iowa, which is not one of those swing states that I mentioned. But what is that poll saying?
Yeah, this is something really revealing overnight. As you said, a new poll from the red state of Iowa. This is a state that Donald Trump won comfortably back in 2016 and in 2020. And what this poll is saying or suggesting is that Kamala Harris will carry the state with 47% to Donald Trump's 44%. Now, Iowa, it itself isn't a big prize. It just has 6 electoral college votes. But this is the crucial thing about it. Demographically, it resembles other states in the Midwest, such as Wisconsin and Michigan. So even though the polls are very, very tight, they're neck and neck in those blue wall states like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania and Michigan, this might give an indication that Kamala Harris is actually doing better than we expect in those states. So it's somewhere to watch on election night.
It is. And also because Iowa was won by Donald Trump, wasn't it, in the last 2 presidential elections in which he stood. The other battleground states then, what are the polls telling us there?
Yes, so we've seen, you know, the 2 candidates zigzagging through swing states this weekend, making the last minute pitch to those undecided voters. And polls, they're mostly saying the same thing, that the 2 candidates are tied. We had a YouGov poll this weekend saying Kamala Harris was leading by small margins in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan and Nevada. Trump barely leading in North Carolina and Georgia, and Arizona is tied. But as you said in your intro, Justin, the leads are so small, it's all within the margin of error. It's just a toss-up.
It's extremely close, but not all the battleground states are equal, are they? You've got to put on get out your calculator now, because if you look at Pennsylvania, Michigan and Wisconsin, those 3 so-called blue wall states, Kamala Harris is doing better in those states. If she wins them, she wins the White House, doesn't she?
That's right. So these states, you know, your blue wall states, Pennsylvania, Michigan and Wisconsin, these states are so important because as a candidate, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, you're looking for 270 electoral college votes. That's the magical number here. Win the popular vote in a state and win that state's electoral college vote. So Kamala Harris is heading into the election likely with 226 electoral college votes from traditional blue states and blue-leaning swing states, as opposed to Trump's 219 electoral votes from traditional red states and Republican-leaning states. So Kamala Harris's best path to the White House is to win all 3 blue wall states plus 1 vote from Nebraska. That would put her exactly at 270 electoral votes, which means she would win the White House. And if she pulls that off, she could lose every other battleground state and still win the White House. For Donald Trump, his best path, he would only have to win Pennsylvania, North Carolina and Georgia and 1 vote in Maine, then he has the White House.
All right. Let's hear from some voters now. These are voters in the swing state of Michigan. Let's hear what's on their minds.
I'm voting for Trump here, but that's just the way I stand the thing, because I think with other countries looking down on women and things like that, if they see a woman in office, I believe, you know, it's gonna go pretty rough for us.
He said he was gonna protect us, whether we like it or not. A protector doesn't say that. Somebody who stands up for women's rights doesn't say that. You don't, and then he goes and calls Liz Cheney dumb. It hurts. It's kind of painful.
Kamala Harris says that she's going to be doing this, this, and this, but she's already been in office for 4 years. Why hasn't she already done it? And that's what I've heard from a lot of my friends who are voting for Trump.
Her being elected as president would mark a new wave in America, as like women are being able to reach new posts in government and in society. So super exciting for sure.
There's some voters in the state of Michigan there, Jackie. And just like elections in this country, so much will depend on getting the vote out, especially in a really tight election. How good are each of the parties on the ground at getting their supporters to actually go out and vote for them at the polls?
Yes, superior ground game will make the difference in this election. Democrats are confident that their boots on the ground in those battleground states, they're making the difference. And the Harris campaign, they say they've got around 2,500 staff members and around 400 offices across the battleground states. Now, for Republicans, American PAC, that's the Political Action Committee founded by Elon Musk. It has led the ground game for the Trump's campaign, but it has been warned about increasing numbers of door knocks that have been flagged as actually potentially fraudulent. So apparently canvassers have been falsely claiming to have knocked on doors, that has raised the possibility that thousands of Trump voters might not have been reached in their field operations. So when every vote counts, that's really not good news for the Trump campaign.
All right, Jackie, thank you very much indeed. That's Jackie Fox in Washington, D.C. Let's get some more analysis now and speak with political consultant and former advisor to Bill Clinton, Hank Scheinkopf, who joins us from New York. And also we can speak to Greg Swenson, chairman of Republicans Overseas, who joins us from London. Thank you both for joining us and welcome to the programme. Hank Scheinkopf, to you first, I want to ask you about that news today that Kamala Harris has taken the lead in an unexpected poll in Iowa, Iowa, which was won by Donald Trump in 2016 and in 2020. How significant is that news for you?
Well, it's not the most. Well, good morning. First of all, it's not the most significant news you could have. It's a smaller state, and it is not in play generally, but. What's interesting here is that it is reflective of the Midwest in many ways. The Midwest, the heartland of the country, the place where food is produced, where dairy products matter. I mean, all kinds of other things. And it could be a trend line that tells you that Donald Trump is not performing as well as he should in states with where he would expect to perform.
Kamala Harris has been the candidate now for just over 100 days. She's focused her campaign initially on women's reproductive rights and then in the latter stages of this campaign on Donald Trump's suitability or unsuitability, as she would put it, for office. How effective a campaign has she run?
Well, the campaign finally got off the ground, in my view, in the last couple of weeks. It's gotten some steam and some energy. Before it was a kind of an old playbook. And Trump, frankly, has helped it by his own behavior. So absent Trump's behavior, it would have been much more difficult to make the case that he was unfit in the way she's described him thus far.
She and her supporters have spent a large portion of the latter stages of this campaign appealing to black men in particular to come out and vote for her. And does that suggest that maybe she might have neglected her own base a little and she's now trying to rally those voters to come out and vote for her?
Not necessarily, although that's an important question. Black men do not perform well overall in Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania, which is critical and will decide, in my view, the election. They don't turn out in the numbers they should in Philadelphia. The perfect voter, as we define it, voter most likely to vote in any election in the city of Philadelphia, I would bet, is probably a 55-year-old plus black woman, which tells you that they're starting at a deficit to begin with. So trying to get black men out and getting them not to vote for Trump, who's made some inroads among African Americans, is a very important element of the Harris strategy.
In the last few days, we had President Joe Biden describing Donald Trump supporters as garbage. Do you think that will impact on the campaign?
It was a dumb move. You don't. The best move would have been to let Donald Trump roil in his own juices on the comments made by a comedian at the Madison Square Garden rally, which has become an international incident thus far, instead of getting into it. But Joe Biden got into it, which put the focus temporarily back on Joe Biden, which was the exact opposite effect of what the Harris campaign would have wanted. And he's and gave Trump the ability to attack Joe Biden, which he didn't do in the way he might have, but it wasn't the best move. Let him roil in his own juices should be the Harris campaign operation. And it's tending to work.
Stay with us, Hank Sheinkopf. I want to turn to Greg Swenson now from Republicans Overseas. And just about that, those comments that were made at the Trump rally by the comedian Tony Hinchcliffe, who referred to Puerto Rico as a floating island of garbage. There are around 400,000 Puerto Rican voters in the swing states that Trump needs to win if he wants to win the White House. Should he have apologized for those comments, Greg?
Yeah, I think it would have been wise. I mean, the campaign definitely distanced itself and said all the right things that day or the next day. And, you know, unfortunately, it was just a distraction. So, you know, that was 48 hours of, you know, potential, you know, campaigning and potential messaging that was just deflected to focus on that and back away from it. So, yeah, an apology probably would have been wise, but and unfortunately, you know, the joke was stupid, and it was about the fact that Puerto Rico, like Staten Island in Staten Island in New York, one of the five boroughs of New York, has an uncharacteristically high amount of garbage, of landfill. And it's, you know, it's probably not fair to the people of Puerto Rico, nor is it fair to the people of Staten Island. So that's just a reality. I mean, even NPR, a very left-leaning media organization, did a whole piece on it. So it was a total miss. And we were very lucky that Joe Biden had the gaffe on Tuesday, I believe it was, you know, that just sort of, I don't know, it completely erased the damage from Sunday, but it surely was a kind of an own goal and a real opportunity for people to recall the Hillary Clinton campaign of 2016 calling voters deplorable. So it just was, I couldn't have asked for a better gift, you know, in the last week of the campaign.
And the Donald Trump we've seen in this campaign, like previous campaigns, he's someone who's willing to say anything, whether it's true or not. He's made comments which have been described as racist. He's attacked minorities. Even in recent days, he's been accused of inciting violence against opponents like Liz Cheney. Should he have run a different campaign? Should he have stuck to the key messages around immigration and the economy rather than resorting to insults and nasty comments?
Yeah, I mean, well, the obvious answer is yes. You know, I've been advocating that all year. You know, if he sticks to the issues, and they happen to be the issues that Americans rank number one and number two. You know, the first is inflation and the economy, and the second is the border crisis. So those are gifts for him, right? Because they're the top two issues, and he polls 10 to 15 points higher than Kamala on those issues. So, you know, that's the natural thing. Now, I think a lot of the comments, you know, he is unfiltered, but a lot of them, you know, they're taken out of context. They're reprinted on social media, you know, without the context. I'm not sure I'd say, you know, he has no regard for the truth. I mean, yeah, he exaggerates. He likes hyperbole, but I don't think that's hurting him right now, because he's been more disciplined. I'm not saying he's perfectly disciplined at all, but there was a moment in late July when Vice President Harris became the nominee, where it seemed to kind of push him off a little bit, and he started going negative. He started, you know, kind of reverting back to the old Trump of you know, personal grievances or personal insults. And then in the last month of the campaign, he's been much more disciplined. Again, not perfect.
Back on message.
He's
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Finally, just back to you for a minute, Hank Sheinkopf. If Kamala Harris becomes president next week, or is elected president next week, it will be in America, which is divided right down the middle. Does she have the political skills to be a unifying president?
She has no choice, and the Democrats both parties are going through their internal revolution. She's going to have to redefine what Democrat means, make it relevant to this portion of the 21st century, and somehow restore the Democrats' positioning as the working class party, which they're not anymore. What Donald Trump has done extraordinarily well is he's created a populist fervor that propelled him into office once, and has nearly propelled him into office this time, it will appear by the polls. Somehow she's got to temper that and find some unity that brings people who just don't look like her to feel that they belong in America.
All right. Very interesting. I won't ask you to call it because nobody can, but we'll all look forward to it next week on Tuesday night. But political consultant and former advisor to Bill Clinton, Hank Shinecoff, and Greg Swenson, chairman of Republicans Overseas. Thank you both for joining us. We'll take a break. We're back with more after this.